Okay, good morning, everybody. Shavuot Tov. Welcome back to our Shmiras HaLashon class learning. I hope that everybody is well and ready to learn. So as always, we learn the Yilui Nishmas and the Zeicher Nishmas. Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav v'chana lo v'sham. May the Neshama have a continuous aliyah and the merit of these Divrei Torah. And also the Zeicher and the Yilui Nishmas Zev Wolf ben Yishai lo v'sham. May the Neshama also have a Zechira and aliyah l'tova and the merit of these Divrei Torah. With your permission, for his chus refuah for bracha v'gaya b'srachah geta b'soch sh'ar chalei Yisrael. So let us go straight to the Tfila HaDibur, then straight into our learning. Ribono sh'olam, hi ratzu lefanecha al-racham v'chanin sh'tizakeni hayim v'chol yam v'shmer piyu l'shanim v'lashan har v'chilus v'azaram l'debar fila alish yachi v'kol sh'ken ar kai Yisrael o chalak mehem v'kol sh'ken m'yisrael amidosef sh'akol sh'baruchu v'azaram l'debar d'vrei sh'ekar chanufa mechol kes kas gaivo na'az tvarim habanas padim le'itzanus Chaldibar also was a case of the Dabar Kim Dabar Hatzarich, the Nani Gufi Vinafshi, you call Asai, the Dibruai, the Shem Shemaim, Amin, the Amin. So before we get into our learning, prepared an extremely interesting Anu Shir. I think it's extremely interesting and very relevant Anu, but I just want to follow up with you last time. If you remember that one of the someone who learns with us, she reached out to me. She was in a certain situation. She went to Shul. And she was davening, and someone came over and sat down next to her and started speaking Lashon Hara about a woman a couple rows ahead and her young child, speaking negatively about this woman and specifically her child. And then when they went down to Kiddush, again, this same woman went over to our Shir participant, whether she joined Zoom or she listens on my Torah, someone who listens to the Shir for many years. And she went over to Rabbi Kiddush and she started to denigrate and mock one of the woman downstairs and her dress. So this woman reached out to me and she said, what do I do when I'm in such a situation when a person, you know, you're just minding your own business, you're davening, whatever it is you're doing, and Samako was over and starts talking Lashon Hara. So it is that this is a very halachic shayla, that powerful and relevant shayla, I'm sure to many. And so I reached out to Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman, who we often quote. He's one of the YU Rosh Yeshivas. He is also the author. He's a Mechaber Sfarim. I think I have about four of his Sfarim, The Right and the Good, Divine Footsteps, which is on kindness. So this is to the Sefer False Facts and True Rumors. We spent, I think, two Shavuoses with him when we were on the YU Shvitzer Archei Kab program. I believe that two Shavuoses we spent together. So I reached out to him and I forwarded him the Shaila. I took out all identifying information. I even took out some of the details of Lashon Hara. I didn't think all of it was relevant for him to know, but I took out all identifying information and I forwarded it to him. So he said he would get back to me. He said it deserves a careful response. Anyway, last week he got back to me. So I'm quoting from Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman. How do we address this issue that if you're just standing there, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing, davening, following Kriyas HaTorah, eating food at the Kiddush, whatever it is, and someone just comes over and starts speaking Lashon Hara, what do you do? So Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman, I time Yichal, thank you for your patience. I'm sorry this response took so long. As the Chafetz Chaim noted, it is very difficult to try to stop Lashon Hara through direct rebuke, as the reaction is usually defensiveness. So this is very important. So in other words, it's not helpful to say you're speaking Lashon Hara, stop. Okay, and that's what the Chafetz Chaim noted. It's very difficult to try to stop Lashon Hara through direct rebuke, as the reaction is usually defensiveness. And then a doubling down by the original speaker, who will feel the need to justify their original comments. No one ever says anything with the intent of, he puts this in quotation marks, I'm speaking Lashon Hara. They either convince themselves the comments serve some purpose or feel comfortable that the comments will be appreciated by the listener. It's difficult to directly challenge the first assumption. The first assumption is this has some to'alas. It's difficult to challenge that because the person imagines in their head. In other words, what he's saying is that this is based on the Chafetz Chaim. He's really a bucky, besides for being Rosh Yeshiva at Reed, and he has a shul. He's the Rav of also a shul in New Jersey. So obviously we're talking about a brilliant and learned Talmid Chacham and Mechaber Sfarim. But besides that, he's specifically quoting the Chafetz Chaim. So we should, this is very relevant to everybody. Extremely relevant to everybody, that if you're ever in a situation where someone starts speaking Lashon Hara and you're in a, now it's a halachic shayla, so what taka do you do? So you should not say, it seems, please stop saying that it's Lashon Hara. because what's going to happen is the speaker is going to become very defensive, and now they're going to go out of the way to justify their original comments. No one wants to be, you know, ever, no one should think, and they don't think I'm speaking Lashon Hara. Either one of two things. One, they convince themselves that this is for Toelas, I'm speaking only for Toelas. Or two, they feel a kinship. The person I'm speaking to must feel the same, and you will appreciate my negative comments. So therefore, Rabbi Feldman writes, it's difficult to directly challenge the first assumption. There is more potential with the second premise, which is that people will feel comfortable with what I'm saying. However, it has to be done sideways rather than frontally. So it's very hard to directly negate what they are saying. It needs to be done in some roundabout fashion. How can this happen? This can happen through the steps the Chafetz Chaim prescribed. For someone trapped in a setting where the Lashon Hara is being spoken. So we're not the first people to address this. So the Chafetz Chaim prescribes certain steps for someone trapped in a setting where the Lashon Hara is being spoken. Primarily, so what should you do? One, by not conveying any indication of support for the comments being made. So that means not smiling, not raising your eyes, not smirking, not snickering, not replying in the affirmative. So the first thing is primarily, says the Chafetz Chaim, by not conveying any indication of support for the comments being made. So the speaker now sees you're actually not so interested in what they have to say. Secondly, one can also redirect attention towards an appreciation of the positive aspects of the subject. I'm not trying to point out something positive, or maybe even more effectively, sympathy for what they may be going through. So when someone starts to speak Lashon Hara and you're just there, it is not helpful to try and say, please stop saying that, that's Lashon Hara. They will just become defensive. They will double down. Nobody goes in with the intention of, I'm speaking Lashon Hara. Either they convince themselves that it's for Toelas, this has a purpose, I'm holier than thou, I'm only doing it for Toelas. Or secondly, they feel that you are in cahoots with them and you will appreciate what they are saying. So what should he do? So the Chafetz Chaim primarily do not convey any indication of support for the comments being made, whether it is through body language or through words or through writing. Do not lend your support to what is being said. Okay. Secondly, try and direct the conversation to a different aspect. Either point out the positive aspects of the subject or try and convey sympathy for what they may be going through. The second question that the person, so that's from Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman, quoting the Chafetz Chaim, and it's something that's for sure relevant to all of us, okay? Secondly, the person who reached out to me also wrote in her email that she finds over the years, especially from learning in this class, Baruch Hashem, she's so much more sensitive to her speech, which I hope we all are. That we are all more appreciative of our speech, that's speech. From this class, from this year, from these years of learning, that we all think before we speak. Or, so nice, Nancy, I'm going to quote Nancy. Nancy reached out to me last week. She's recently joined our Shmiras HaLashon class. She sent me a WhatsApp 2 weeks ago saying, Micha, I love capital letters. I love Shmiras HaLashon class. And Baruch Hashem. And so last week she sent me a text saying, I was about to post something negative on I don't know if it was Facebook or something. She was about to post something negative and she stopped and she said, this is a waste of my time, I'm going to do something much more productive. And she's only been learning with us for 2 weeks. I did such nachas. I hope Shadar Ribon Shalom has such nachas. So we should all be more sensitive and aware of our speech. But the original question that was posed to me, which was obviously a very halachic question, like you see like Rabbi Daniel Z. Feldman answered, was also she finds herself having less tolerance for people who speak in such a fashion. What happens is when we become more aware and heightened sensitivity to speech, so that heightened sensitivity means when we hear people speaking in such a fashion, we have less tolerance for such people and less patience for such people. So Rabbi Feldman also addressed that. Regarding being more tolerant of those who focus on the negative, it helps to realize that we all do it sometimes. In fact, at the very moment, the negative aspects of the speaker are grabbing focus away from their own positives in the eyes of the one asking the question. What he's saying is that those of us asking this question are focusing on the negative in the speaker. It is human nature to be drawn to the negative. Why do people speak Lashon Hara? Because we focus on the negative and someone else. But what is the root of this? So Rabbi Daniel Zvi Feldman writes, it helps, why do we focus on the negative? It helps reassure one of their own strengths and capabilities. This is a gentler way of saying, mischabed bekalon chaviro. A person has honor through the disparagement, the lessening, the denigration of his friend. But it is still a yetzer hara. So one thing we have to remind ourselves is that when we all see the negative in somebody else, what we're really actually doing is what the speaker is doing about a third party. When we see the negative, we're not really so different than that speaker who's seeing the negative in somebody else. It is human nature to be drawn to the negative. Why? It reassures us of our own strengths and capabilities, mischabed bekalon chaver, but it is a yetzer hara. What we have to try and do is focus on the positive, even in the person speaking to us, which is obviously challenging. And then we have to somehow redirect the conversation, either to focus on the positive in the subject or show sympathy, and very important, not to show any haskama, approbation, to the negative words being said. He actually recommended a book. One way to get a more thorough understanding of this instinct, the instinct to see negative, is through reading this book, The Power of Bad, How the Negativity Effect Rules Us and How We Can Rule It. And then, so he sent me the link. I hope this is a bit helpful. Thank you, as always, for listening. Okay. So I thought this was very relevant, very important, and something that we could all try and apply into our own lives. So that is the beginning of Shir. Now let us go into the main part of Shir. Toalas means for purpose. Nancy, Toalas means for purpose. A speaker will convince themselves that I'm speaking negative, but it has a purpose. I'm not just speaking negative for no reason. I'm trying to convey something very important. I have a purpose in what I'm doing. So therefore, that's what Rabbi Daniel Zvi Feldman said. The problem is that no one's going to say, oh yeah, I'm speaking Lashon Hara. They're going to say, no, I'm allowed to speak this. It's L'shem Shamayim. I have a purpose. I'm accomplishing something. So the truth is, like this, our friend found herself in such a situation. It's extremely difficult to extricate yourself from a situation because you can't just say to the person, stop, it's Lashon Hara. They don't want to hear that, and it's going to make the situation much worse. Okay, so he gave us advice based on the Chafetz Chaim of what we should all do. So now I want to go to a topic from this past week's Sedra in Chutz La'aretz. In Chutz La'aretz, this past Shabbos, we read Chukas Balak. Now, is a situation in Parshas Chukas. Today is Monday morning, Yom Sheni. We just read it on Shabbos. There is a situation in Parshas Chukas which is very relevant to the Shir and is all about Lashon Hara. So I'm going to screen share with you, 1 second, which I prepared over here. So let me come back and screen share with you. Okay, so could you see it says Numbers 21, which just means Bamidbar Chaf Aleph. Can you see Vayisume Har Har? Yes, okay, very good. Fine, I'm going to put you up there. Okay, we are in year 40 of desert wanderings. In Parak Chof, Miriam died. Moshe struck the rock and found that he wasn't going into Eretz Yisrael along with Aaron, and Aaron died. So in Parak Chof, the people basically lost their three great leaders. Because Miriam died, Aaron died, and Moshe, they just find out in a few days, or a few months, I should say, is going to die as well. Vayishu mihar ha-har derech yamsuf lisvov es eretz edom vatikzar nefesh ha'am baderech. They journey from Har Har, by the way, of the Sea of Reeds, to go around the land of Edom. Edom won't give them permission to go through their land. And the soul of the people became short on the road. One second, I just circled the Rashi's that I want to tell you. Not yet. The soul of the people, the spirit of the people, became short on the journey. By Deber Ha'am be'Elokim u'be'Moshe. And the people spoke about God and Moshe, against God and Moshe. What did they say against God and Moshe? Lama ha'elisunu me'eretz mimitrayim lamus ba'midbar ki ein lechem ve'ein mayim v'nafshenu katsa b'lechem ha'kilok. Remember, ein mayim, what was the thing that happened just before this? Water came gushing forth from a rock. There definitely was water. Vayetsu mayim rabim. And the nation spoke against God and Moshe, why did you take us out from Egypt to die in this desert? We have no bread, we have no water. Our souls are already disgusted by this insubstantial food. So Rashi says, they spoke about God and Moshe. Hishu avadakono. They equated Moshe, the servant of God, with his master. So they're blaming both Moshe and the Ribbono Shel Olam for the present situation in which they find themselves. Lama ha'elusonu shneim shavim. You are both to blame. You, Moshe, and God are both equal that we are here. V'nafshenu katsa, avzeloshen kitzur nefesh umius. Our souls are short. Our souls are sick and tired. Our souls are disgusted by this unsubstantial food. Why did they say it's an insubstantial food? Kaman was like miraculous. Obviously, it was macros. It fell down from Shemayim every morning, exactly how much you needed for 40 years, every single day except for Shabbos, because Friday they got a lachem mishnah. It fell down from Shemayim for 40 years, every single day, exactly the amount they needed. Tasted like whatever you want. I mean, clearly it was amazing food. It wasn't al pita. Teva was also an ace, I know. But this was an ace, chmalim in a teva. But the man was absorbed into their bodies. Amru, they said, asir haman hazeh sheyit pach b'me'enu. I want to make sure I translate it correctly. This man was going to blow up our innards, blow up our insides. Klum yesh yidud isha shemaklis ve'enabotzi. Is it possible one can be born of a woman who ingests but does not excrete? In other words, how is it possible that the man is coming inside of us, we're taking it in, but we don't have to excrete the man, nothing's coming out. But it was absorbed into them. It was like, it was a miracle. It was exactly what they needed to live. They didn't have more, they didn't have less, they were never hungry, they were never overstuffed, they were all satiated, omer the gogos, exactly how much they needed, and it sustained them for 40 years in the desert. They didn't have to cook, if they wanted it to taste like something, but they didn't have to work for it, they didn't have to go shopping for it. If it just fell down, it was guaranteed, and this is what they're complaining about. But what do they do? Vayidaber ha'am b'elokimu b'moshe. They speak against God and Moshe. They equate the owner with the servant with the owner, and they say, why did you take us over from the land of Egypt? Well, there's nothing, we're all going to die in this desert, there's nothing, there's no bread, there's no water, our souls are disgusted, we're sick already of this insubstantial food. Immediately, Vayishalach Hashem ba'am es hanechashim hasrafim. Vayishalach Hashem ba'am es hanechashim hasrafim. Immediately, God sends against the nation the burning serpents. They built the nation, and many died. Why is this the immediate, the punishment is instantaneous? So Rashi says, they burn a person with the venom of their fangs. Now that's what it means, burning serpents. Doesn't mean they were on fire. The fire of their venom burns up a person. So why specifically a serpent did God send? I don't know, he could have sent a plague, he could have sent a fire, like by the Mizonim, his ground could have opened up by Korach. Why specifically Nechashim, serpents? Yavo Nechash, Shalaka al Hotza'at Diba, let the snake come that was stricken over Lashon Hara. The para mimose diba, and let it pay back, let it take its due reward. How does the art school translate exactly? Let and take his due from those who bring due, and let him take his due from those who bring forth malicious talk. So why? The original sin in the Garden of Eden was precipitated by Lashon Hara. Avki amar Elokim mikol etz hagan lo tochel ki yodei Elokim b'yamachach mimeno v'yisa ke Elokim yodei tov v'ra. God knows on the day you eat it, you'll be like him, says Rashi. Every craftsman hates competition. That's what Rashi says in Bereishis. The Nachash, the first sin, was brought into the world through Lashon Hara. So why were the snakes released against the people after they spoke against God and Moshe? Because they spoke Lashon Hara. So a Nachash, the original sin, was brought about through Lashon Hara, should come and take its due, D-U-E, from those who are Motzei Diba, speaking Lashon Hara. Furthermore, Yavo Nachash, let a Nachash come, that everything tastes like one thing, and take his due from those who are Kofer Tov, they rejected the good, because one food, man, changes to taste like many other foods. It's a miracle food, it could taste like whatever you want it to taste like. It's amazing, but they said, we're sick of this, let the Nachash come. For him, many different foods all taste like dust. For them, one food tastes like whatever it wants, they want it to taste like. Well, you want steak, imagine steak, and now it tastes like steak, it looks like steak, it smells like steak, it's amazing. They have one food that changes into many foods. The Nachash has many foods that change into one food, dust. Let the Nachash come and take his due from those who complain about their food. So two reasons, and Rashi is quoting Medrash Tanchuma, which I looked up for purposes of the shir, which is right next to me, and we'll see how much time we have to actually go into it. But the reason that the snakes were sent is because they spoke Lashon Hara. And the Nachash is the first one in the history of the world to speak Lashon Hara. Let him come and punish those who are Motzi Diba. Vayavo ha'am Moshe. And the people come to Moshe. Well, the people are dying. It does not say how many people are dying. It just says many. This is not the first generation. This is the second door. Vayavo ha'am Moshe. And the people come to Moshe. And they say, Chatanu, we sin. Ki dibarnu b'Hashem v'bach. They acknowledge, they admit, we spoke against God and you. Hitpala al Hashem. 5 seconds ago, they were speaking Lashon Hara. Now they're saying, Davin to Hashem for us. I was thinking that maybe they have a precedent. From where? From Miriam. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe to Aaron. Kuntedaber, Miriam ve'Aaron b'Moshe, odos ha-kushis asher lakach, ki isho kushis lachach. He didn't care why. Karakam b'Moshe diber Hashem, kam banu diber Hashem, v'yishma Hashem. But Moshe was anam mikodem asher p'nei adama. And what does Moshe do? He davens for Miriam. The same people who just spoke Lashon Hara about a Miriam and Aaron. When Aaron says you have to daven for her, Moshe Taka davens for her. So maybe that's where the people learned this precedent. They speak Lashon Hara about Moshe, and then what do? They also need healing because the snakes are killing them. Oh, he's Pala Hashem. Please daven. V'yasar me'aleinu asa nachash. You should remove from upon us this nachash. Look at Rashi says. It's the same Medrash Tanchuma that he just quoted from. It's Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Chukas Siman Yod Tes, which I hope we're going to get to. We'll see. Mikan l'misha mevaksh mimenu shlo yechzar milimcha. Very, very important. This is a message for the insulted person. This is a message for the person who was spoken about. This is a lesson for the subject of the Lashon Hara. Mikan l'misha mevaksh mimenu shlo yechzar milimcha. From here you learn that from when someone comes to ask for forgiveness, you should not be cruel. And you should not hold back forgiveness. Moshe didn't say, you just spoke Lashon Hara about me, I should daven for you. Maybe by his sister, she saved his life, she told his parents to get back together, she got the Hebrew wet nurse, who was really his mother, so maybe by her, he was willing to daven for her. But for you people, you ingrates, seriously, you're complaining about food, you're talking Lashon Hara about God, you said he brought you to die in the Midbar, I'm not going to daven for you. No. From here we learn, it's Medrash Tanchuma Siman Yud Tes on the Sedra Chukas, when someone comes to ask for Mechila, we should not be cruel and withhold forgiveness. This is also something very relevant that we must strive to overcome the Yetzer Hara of pride. And if we're ever in a situation where we are the insulted person, it's very, very difficult. But we learn, the Medrash teaches us, that's one of the things we learn, and it also relates. So someone speaks Lashon Hara about you, you find somehow find out about it, etc. We should try, if you need, if it's really so drastic that, you know, I don't know, chas v'sham, there was horrific ramifications, far-reaching ramifications, you should consult a rav. You see, by the way, from the Shaila, by Rabbi Feldman, that sometimes we underappreciate the significance of our own shaylas and own situations. It's clearly a halachic shaila that had far-reaching implications, but a person should try to the best of their ability to forego their own ego and forgive someone else when they come to ask mechila. We should not be cruel to forgive. So Moshe davens for the people. Vayom Hashem Moshe, say the chasaraf. Hashem says, make for yourself a saraf. V'sim also al neis, put it on a pole. V'haya kol anashuch v'ra'al shovechai. Anyone who has been bitten should look at this saraf, and he shall live. And the Mefarshim speak about way beyond the scope of today's shir, simply because I don't even think we have time for what I prepared, unfortunately. But the Mefarshim discussed Moshe was not actually told to make a nachash. He wasn't told to make a serpent. He was told to make a saraf. But he deduced, since it was nachashim, serpents that were biting the people, he creates an image, a statue somehow, a copper serpent, and he puts it on a pole. Some people say, I don't know if it's true or not true, that the medical alert symbol, and the symbol for doctors, which looks like a pole with a serpent, comes from here. Is that true or not? I have no idea. Ayas Moshe nechash nechoshesh. Moshe made a copper serpent. Vayisimel anes. He puts it on this pole. V'haya im nashach hanashach hanachash es ish. And it was, if a person was bitten by one of these snakes, v'hibir al nechash nechoshesh v'chai. And he looked at the nechash nechoshesh. He looked at the copper serpent and he lived. And as she says here, he wasn't told to make it from nechoshesh, copper, but Moshe deduced, since the word nachash in Hebrew, serpent, is the same shosh as the word nechoshes, I'll make it from copper. Rashi also says here, also quoting the same Medrash Tanchuma. V'amar Rabbeinu v'chi nachash meimi simechaya. This copper serpent had the power to put them to death. These serpents put them to death, and the copper serpent healed them. Hashem is the Rofei Cholim. אלא בזמן שהישוע מסתכלים כלפי מעלה, ומשעבדים אס ליבם לאבים שבשמיים היו מסרפים. How did it work? If you looked at this copper serpent that was on a high pole, all of a sudden you were healed from your snake bite. What does that even mean? Does a snake put to death? Does a snake give life? Hashem is in control of Teva. So the sages teach, does a serpent give death? Does a serpent bring life? However, at the time that the Israelites were looking, klapei mala, they looked heavenward, and they were meshubah their hearts. They humbled themselves. They became servants of God in their hearts to their Father in heaven. They were healed. And if not, then they were not healed. Then they unfortunately died from the serpent bite. But the translation's very bad. I'm sorry, it's my own. Yimukim, they would like melt away, waste away. Art school probably translates it much nicer. A rabbi said, could a snake cause death or give life? Rather, at the time that Israel would look upward and subject their heart, better translation than mine, to their Father in heaven, they would be cured, but if not, they would waste away. So I was thinking to myself, that what is the connection to the Lashon Hara? That's exactly right. When we look at another person negatively, we're forgetting to look upward to our Father there in heaven. We're looking at that person as a human being without a tzalem alokim. We're looking at a person as a human being without remembering that they're connected and they emanate from the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the antidote to Lashon Hara, not the antidote to the snake bite, the antidote to Lashon Hara, which was their sin, was to cast our eyes heavenward. It's from Haftar of Shabbos Nachamu. So when we look at the Ribbono Shel Olam, i.e. instead of looking negatively at our fellow man, we cast our eyes upward. We are meshubar our hearts. We enslave, it's the wrong word. It's a word from the word Eved. Our article says subject our hearts to our Father in heaven. When we remember that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam and he created, lift your eyes heavenward and see who created all of these. See who made this person. See who made this child. See who made this woman who's wearing the dress that I don't like. When we look heavenward instead of looking at the people around us as just human beings without a divine image, but when we look upward, we remember that there's our Father in heaven who created all of these, then we will not speak Lashon Hara. We'll see the good in heaven, and then of course we'll be healed. So maybe that is why Moshe made something elevated. I mean, God told him to, that they had to look upward. It redirects our thoughts. Maybe the Moshe Haskell here is that it redirects our thoughts from seeing the negative in someone else by remembering that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, by looking up. And when we see the Tzelem Elokim inside of every other person, the divine image inside of every other person, which only comes from casting our eyes, La'avihem Shabashamayim, to our Father in heaven, how you misrap him. We'll be healed. Maybe what Chazal mean is not only will we be healed from the snake bite, we'll be healed from the sin, from the maliciousness, from the evil intent of speaking Lashon Hara. So what is there? There's so much that I want to quote, so many sources that I prepared. Okay. What actually is the sin of the Lashon Hara? So I'm going to quote from Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch. Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch says, what is the sin of the Lashon Hara? They said, in other words, what were they complaining about? What did they actually say? Vaydebar on Elokim and Moshe, that's Pasukei. And the people spoke against God and Moshe. Why did he bring us from the land of Egypt to die in the desert? Ki ein lachem ve'ein mayim. There's no bread and there's no water and our souls are already nauseous. We're disgusted. We're sick and tired of this insubstantial food. Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch, commentary to Chumash. This cannot mean that they lack nourishment that they require. What are they saying when they say ki ein lachem ve'ein mayim? We have no bread, we have no water. They did have bread. They had man. They did have water because the topic right before this tells us that after Moshe struck the rock, water gushes out and the people and their animals drink. So it can't mean they didn't have water. And they certainly had food. So what are they actually saying? They immediately admit they do have lachem. Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch points out something. First they say, ki ein lachem, there's no bread. They ain mayim, there's no water. And then they say, our souls are disgusted, but lachem hakilokel. In the same sentence that they say we have no bread, they say we're nauseous of the bread we have. So they admit that they have bread. Do you understand what he's saying? Forget that water came out of the rock. In the same sentence where they say we have no bread, the next thing they said is we're nauseous from our bread. So clearly you have bread. This cannot mean that they lack nourishment they required, for they immediately admit they do have lachem. What they miss is the kind of food and drink that people normally have. The nourishment with which they had been provided by miracle, right? Water from a rock is a miracle. Bread from Shemayim that comes exactly how much you need every single day for 40 years is clearly a miracle. Without any effort on their part had become monotonous to them. God's grace, his special providence, his hashkacha, excuse me, which had guided them daily for 40 years, had become routine. And their discontent caused them to denigrate the nutritive value of the manna. This is a very interesting insight of Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch. The routine of what they ate and what they drank and how it was provided for them became monotonous. And it was their discontent with routine that caused them to denigrate the nutritive value of the manna and then obviously denigrate God. When things become routine to us, we start to take them for granted. And only if chas v'sham that routine is disrupted, do we start to appreciate them again. I mean, think of the simplest thing. I'm putting that in quotes. Okay, I don't know, the usage of our fingers. If one finger gets a cut, which when you're in the kitchen, I shouldn't say, but it could happen. Or you get a burn because the oven mitt wasn't exactly on right and the finger touched the rack. I'm sure these things don't only happen to me. Maybe they happen to you also. It's common. So when that finger becomes incapacitated in a small way, that's when you suddenly realize, wow, you know, what a nice. When all my five fingers are working properly, this is like amazing. What a great tool Hashem gave me. It's amazing. But we do. We take things for granted. Why? Because it becomes routine. And that's what they were complaining about, which is also a Mr. Haska. How much we have to thank the Ribono Shel Olam and not become discontent with the monotony of life, with the routine. Because everything that he gives us when things run routine, it's such a bracha. When our bodies work as they should, when man falls from Shemayim as it should, when water comes from the rock as it should, when nature works as it should, and the seasons go according to their time, we should not become discontent with this. So what did Hashem say? It's almost mida kenega mida. Hashem said, oh, you don't like the routine? Okay, so I'll send the fiery serpents. For 40 years, they weren't bothering you because the Ananei HaKavod protected you. Oh, you don't like the routine? You don't like the manani? So let me turn it over a little bit. We'll see how you like it now. And this, too, is a source of Lashon Hara. When we become discontent with what we have, we can end up speaking negatively about the provider, which is exactly what happened here, by the way. They call a lechem a kilokel, according to the Pesikta, a light, easily digestible food. So easily digested, it was nimuch beverim, like melted away in their limbs. In other words, they didn't have to use the bathroom. Nivla beresh mem ches evarim, says the Gemara. It was completely absorbed by the body and used up entirely to reproduce the body's tissue. So it was really miraculous food. In their sight, however, this excellent quality of the man became a drawback. The man was not substantial enough for them. According to Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch, that's who he explains what the Lashon Hara was. What were they complaining about? They were so sick and tired of the routine. Nafshenu katsa b'lachem akiloka. We're just nauseous already of this insubstantial food. You want something exciting to happen. The same thing every day, you know. If your fingers work every day, and your eyes work every day, and your knees work every day, and your toes work every day, and your thighs, and your calves, and your lungs work every day. No, when something chas v'shalom stops being routine, that's when you realize, oh, maybe I should have said modim menachnu lach. Thank you so much. So Hashem said, oh, you don't like the routine? You don't like how things are working in the desert? You don't like that the Ananei HaKavod are, you know, protecting you from the snakes and the serpents? So I will davka send snakes, which are the first creature that spoke Lashon Hara, to remind you what you are doing, what you are speaking Lashon Hara. That's Rav Sham Sharfal, whoops, sorry, moved the computer back. That's Rav Sham Sharfal Hirsch. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has an extremely interesting pshat on what their Lashon Hara was. It's a fascinating shot on exactly what the Lashon Hara was. It's our Chaim HaKodesh to Pasuk Hey. Let me see if I could get on the screen for you. I put Rashi and Tanchuma on the screen for you. But let me see. I'm going to put the Aruch Chaim. It's extremely interesting. One second. Here we go. I'm coming to screen share. Here we go. Can you see I came back to the Aruch Chaim? Yes, somebody tell me. Yes, okay. So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh has such an interesting pshat. What was the sin here? And I was smiling when I was preparing. I was so excited because he references a Gemara that we learned about. Okay. By the Ber Ha'am Belokim Moshe, what was their sin of their Lashon Hara? Hagam Sheyodim Shakol Han Hagasam Hi Al Pi Hashem. They knew that their entire way, the entire life, their entire existence, They were being led only by the mouth of God, meaning by the command of God, by the Ratzon of Hashem. Ve'ein Moshe also davar midato. Moshe's not doing anything by himself. Moshe's only doing what Hashem tells him to do. Afal pikein, nevertheless, Hisra'amu alav. They complained against Moshe. They protested. Shehiskim adas kono. You agreed with God. What are they complaining to Moshe for? Moshe doesn't do anything by himself. Moshe only does what Hashem says he should do. But they nevertheless complained and protested against Moshe. You agreed with God. You should have brought us on a more direct path, or at least you should have implored, entreated, techina. You should have begged God. Why do you only beg God for yourself to go into Eretz Yisrael? You should have cast a petition with the Ribono Shel Olam. He should bring us on a more straight path, an easier path, a path suitable for people whose feet are likely to slip. It's a paraphrase, stylistic citation of Eov. But what they're saying is, we had to endure this long and uncomfortable journey, far from civilization, according to the article footnote to the Or HaChaim elucidated, and material support. They felt Moshe should have prayed Hashem should spare them this experience. So that's why he says, Vaydiber am Belokim of Moshe. What are they complaining against Moshe for? God made the journey. God made them in the desert. God directed which way they should go. Does that have to do with Moshe? No, they understood everything was from Hashem, but Moshe is our leader. We protest against you too. You should have filed the petition with the Almighty that it should be easier for us. Vinira. The Archaim and Chumash is really so beautiful and so brilliant. And he has an extremely interesting chiddush. Vinira. About the Lashon Hara specifically. Ki divrayim kan lo hayu lasos gezeir aleim. Kederach sh'amru b'miragam. Lama Hashem, Nitna Rosh Vneshuva Mitzrayim. I'm going to explain what that means. When they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and in Perek Yudalit subsequently they said, Nitna Rosh Vneshuva Mitzrayim. That's a point ahead. Someone above us, Rash says, Avodah Zarah, Bala Maisa. That's a point someone above us will return to Egypt. At least there was a to'elas, to use that word, Nancy, to their Lashon Hara. It was corrupt. It was wrong. It was a sin. But they had a purpose. The purpose is we don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, we want to go to Egypt. So they were misguided. They were incorrect. But there was a purpose to their Lashon Hara. Here, v'nira, ki divrem kan lo hayula so gzeiraleim. Here, there's no purpose. They're not looking to enact any decree upon themselves. He doesn't mean in a negative fashion. He's saying that they're not trying to affect any change. They're not trying to bring something about with their words. At least by the miraglim, they have a plan. They're speaking negatively about the land, about God, kaviyachol, yichazaku mimenu, kapei mal dibru, kaviyachol. But they have an intention of what they want to do. Here they're just speaking slander to speak slander. Here, they are complaining. They're simply complaining, like someone complains about his fellow that he did something wrong, without his complaint having any constructive purpose. The Arachayim HaKadosh is saying, Art School elucidated, although the demand of the spies was sinful, let us point ahead and go back to Egypt, at least they complained for a purpose. Now, it's not good. It was still a shenar. It was still complaining. They were punished severely, but there was some to'alas. Maybe it was a warp to'alas, but it was a to'alas. Here, aval kamisha misraim achaveiro, like someone who simply complains against their fellow, asher lo tov asa, that he did something wrong, without his complaint having any constructive purpose. V'zeh yikre midivrei lashon hara. And this is considered words of lashon hara. Those who engage in pointless criticism are classified as speakers of Lashon Hara. We sort of bring our shir full circle to the comments that were made to our shir participant, which were totally pointless criticism of another mother and her child. So how do we deal with that? We spoke about that in the beginning of shir. But at least by the miraglim, they had some to us. They thought they were going to help themselves. They were wrong. But at least they had a to'elas. But here, they're simply speaking negatively with no purpose at all. This is considered someone who speaks Lashon Hara. And now, he brings a beautiful chiddush related to something we learned. Mida keneged mida. Ka'amam zal sha'alu l'nachash. Do you remember we spoke about Besar Rav Avigdor Miller, but we looked at the Gemara inside? Rav Avigdor Miller and Taurus Avigdor speaks about the play that will be in the end of days. That all the animals will be on stage, and the Nachash will also be on stage. Does anyone remember? No? We spoke about it a couple months ago. We did the Gemara, we learned the Gemara, we spoke from Rav Avigdor Miller. All the animals will be on stage, and they will say to the Nachash, the lion kills for food, the wolf kills for food, but you only bite for no reason. You just kill your opponent for no reason. Where's the kunchos? It should be here in my sefer. Parshas Bahar, speak with care. The Gemara Maseches Erechin says, in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put on a great drama. Oh, okay. You're forgiven. July 18th, 2022. A year ago. Okay. The Gemara Maseches Erechin says, wow, I can't even believe it. The Asud Lava, in the time to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put on a great drama, pantomime. Who's going to be in the audience? Who's going to come watch the play? Us, all of mankind, will assemble to watch. Now, we understand plays are usually a waste of time. But stam plays for entertainment, narishkai. But if it's a performance put on by Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the producer and director, it's a big lesson to be learned. Now, it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring onto the stage all the wild animals. All the animals together on one side, and on the other side will be the snake. And all the animals will confront the snake. They'll fall upon the snake and they'll accuse him and they say, you wicked creature, why did you get out of biting people and injecting venom into them? Atamaha na'a yeshlecha. What pleasure do you have? They will say. When we fall upon the prey, the animals will tell the Nachash, at least we were hungry, but you didn't do anything to eat. Any creature that crossed your path, you just bit him, merely to inject venom, to kill for no purpose. That's wickedness. That's what the animals are going to say at that great drama. And all of mankind will be in the audience. And the snake will defend himself and he will say, why are you attacking me? There's a creature worse than me. Go after him first. Worse than you? Who's worse than you? The animals will say. And the Nachash will turn and point to the audience. The man with the wicked tongue. What benefit does he get by talking about other people and slandering them? I have an instinct to protect myself. So when I think someone's an enemy, I have an instinct to poison him. But what does the man get out of poisoning people? Just inject venom for no reason? For some puny little pleasure of shooting off his mouth? So all of you wild animals, says the Nachash, should assemble and accuse the real guilty party, the Baal Lashon Hara. Ma Yisrael and the Baal Lashon Hara. What benefit is there a man of a bad tongue? He's the worst creature there is. The worst person is the Baal Lashon Hara. That's what this play is going to demonstrate. And we have to remember who the Nachash is talking about. He's talking about us. Okay, so your taka all forgiven because it was July 18th. Baruch Shem, I have the dates, 2022. But I was very excited when I prepared this year because the Or HaChaim is mamish referencing so beautifully that Gemara that we learned. He's drawing a midah k'neged midah. The people here, says the Or HaChaim, spoke for no to'elas. There was no purpose in what they said. At least by Egypt, because they say we have no bread, then they say we do have bread. So you clearly have bread, and you're clearly being sustained. How could you say you don't have water? Water is gushing forth from a rock 5 seconds ago when Miriam died. Moshe strikes a rock. You have tons of water. So how could you say ein lechem ve'ein mayim? The next sentence is we're nauseous from the bread we have. So you have bread. At least by the Meraglim, says the Arachim, they were misguided. They were wrong. They had an ayin ra, Eretz Yisrael, but at least they had a toelas. We all point ahead. We return to Egypt. There was the Mapilim. They died, but they had a purpose. Here, their Lashon Hara is purposeless, says the Arachim. Purposeless. And because it was purposeless, Hashem sent the Nachash. He sent the Nachash because the Asid Lavo, this is exactly what he's referring to. He quotes from Maseches Tainis. We learned it from Erechim 15b. I don't know if it's in Tainis. Also, it doesn't matter. Sha'alu l'Nachash. And the Art Scroll footnote elucidates there. The sages relate. The other animals ask the serpent. A lion claws its prey and eats it. A wolf tears its prey and eats it. But you bite people simply to kill them. What benefit do you derive? The serpent said, go ask the speaker of Lashon Hara. What benefit does he derive from slandering others? Based on this teaching, the Or HaChaim is explaining, since the serpent and the speaker of Lashon Hara both inflict damage without gain, it's fitting that the speaker of Lashon Hara should be punished with a serpent bite. So at least by the Meragim, they had some to'elas, the sin of the spies. But here says the Aruch Chaim, the Lashon Hara that they spoke was purposeless. And therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, Hashem sent against them, what? Nechashim, a snake. Because Chazal tell us that the snake bites for no purpose. The snake bites only to inflict damage for no purpose. I did want to quote the Medrash Tanchuma and another Sefer. But I'll just tell you very quickly, the Medrash Tanchuma says, I see I was going to screen share with you and do more, no time. However, the Medrash Tanchuma says that Rashi is quoting, Rashi is like cliff notes. And this is Tanchuma Chukas Siman Yud Tes. And Hashem sent against the nation fiery serpents. Mara Ali Paremehem Binachashim. Why did Hashem see to inflict upon them to take his due, so to speak, with serpents? Ala Nachash Hu Pasach Belashon Hara Techila Viniskalel. The Nachash opened with Lashon Hara. He's talking about in the Garden of Eden and was cursed. Velo Lamdu Mimenu. And they did not learn from him. Vayidabru Lashon Hara al Kosh Baruch Hu. And if such a thing is possible, they spoke Lashon Hara against the Kosh Baruch Hu. Yavo Nachash, let the serpent come. This is Medrash Tanchuma. Misha Hischa Belashon Hara Tchila Vinis Kalal. He who opened up, who started off of Lashon Hara and was cursed, Viparimi Misapri Lashon Hara. Let him take his due here from those who speak Lashon Hara. Shanemar. Now Medrash Tanchuma quotes a passage from Kohalas. Yod Pasuchas. Uporit Gader Yeshchenu Nachash. Someone who breaches the fence, who breaches the border, the Nachash will bite him. That's Medrash Tanchuma. Just to end, I wanted to quote from this Sefer called Essen Shabbat Torah. Called Essen Shabbat Torah says that the Pasuk tells us, Vayavo Ha'am, no, Vayas Moshe made a copper serpent, he put it on the pole, and it was whoever was bit. Im Nachash Nashach Nachash Es Ish. Listen, Vahaya, it was, Im Nashach Nachash Es ish. If the serpent had bit a man, why didn't you say im nashach nachash ish? Why doesn't need to say es? The sefer is a beautiful sefer. It's called Essen Shabbat Torah. Every time it has the word es or gam, it's the rabbis. It includes something else. Why does it say if the serpent bit es ish? It should just say if he bit an ish. So first, call Essen Shabbat Torah, es the rabbis isha. It means a man or a woman was bit. If they looked at the serpent on the pole, they were healed. However, to end on a positive note, I love this, and this is how I wanted to end. I've got through almost all my sources. I wanted to quote more of Rav Hirsch. I didn't have time. I wanted to quote more of Tanchuma, no time. But Baruch Hashem, we got through a significant amount of what I wanted to teach today. Call Ish. Oh, this is so beautiful. To end on a message of very, very impactful, empowering teaching. Im nashach hanachash es ish, v'hibir al nachash hanachoshes v'chai. If the biting serpent bit a man and he looked at the copper serpent, he would live. So the first thing the Sefer class in Shabbat Torah says, Rabbi Pesin, Rabbi Allah Pesin from Bnei Brak, l'rabos isha, it includes a woman. If a woman was bit and she gone through the same process, she would also be healed. But why does it say if the nachash bit an ish? Ish, like we know, in Tanakh, denotes chashivus, importance. Noach was an ish tzadik tamaya b'rst orasav. Memeraglim were kulam anashim. Ish doesn't just mean a man. It means a person of prominence and importance. So it should have maybe just said here, if the nachash would bid an adam. Why does it say ish? Ish, by default, means someone of importance. Ish, lashon chashivus. Ish means importance. V'teva ask. Vitevas es, and so it says es ish, a man, including a person of prominence, lerabos, sha'afilu haposhim hisrapu kishi yibitu al hanachash. So I think we end on a very beautiful note. To include that even the sinners were healed when they looked at the nachash. A person should never say, it's too late for me, I have no hope. I've been in a pattern of speech for all these years. I can't change. Es ish v'hibir al nechash nechoshes v'chai. Ish lashon chashivus. I translated this already. V'tevas es. When you put es, it's pasuk tes, along with the word ish. L'rabu sha'afilu haposhim hisrapu kishibitu al nechash. Even the sinners, the poshim, were healed when they looked at the nachash. Like we said, when we look at our heights, when we set our eyes, al avim shabashamayim, like Rashi says, I recognize that every person around me is created in that Tzelem Elokim, just like I'm created in the image of God, my friend is also created in the image of God. Therefore, when I look heavenward and see the image of God in every aspect of creation, from the person next to me, to the dress she's wearing, whether it's sneeze, Nazi, that's not the point, it's not my business. To the man that falls from Shemayim, to the workings of the human body, to everything around us, when we look upwards and we see the Ribbono Shel Olam, even the sinner can be healed. A person should never say, I'm so set in my ways, I can't possibly change. L'rabo shafil ha'poshim hisrapu kishehibitu al panachash. So, okay, gevaldik, baruch Hashem. L'hagdil Torah la'adira. This year should be eschus aliyah and zechira l'tova neshama for Tzvi Gershon ben Yoav Hanan lav Hashem and Zev Wolf ben Yishai lav Hashem. Thank you so much, everybody. Have a wonderful day, b'suras tovas, kol tov.